Good morning.
Good morning.
That was weak.
Very weak.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we ready to venture further? Yes. Okay. What we're going to do this morning is publicly we're going to read 6 verses. Then Tony is going to cover a little something that we felt needed a little, we needed a little more help on from yesterday. And then we're going to go into verses that have to do with the work of the Spirit of God here. I'll give it just a short introduction after Tony would speak. But let's have someone read for us, if we would, from the outline. And I'm going to change it a little bit. We're going to read 1 Timothy 3, 15 and 16 first. Whoever my volunteer is. I'm looking for you. Good. Thank you.
All right. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Okay, and I'll just give you these verses in the, from the outline. Ephesians 2, we talked about this a little bit. The word quickening is in italics there.
Yeah.
So go down to verse 5 because it presents really the same thought. Read verse 5 for us.
Verse 5.
Ephesians 2, verse 5.
Yeah. And when we were dead in our sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Chapter 1, verse 13.
Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Read 14.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Chapter 2, verse 18.
Verse 18. For though him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Sorry, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Verse 22.
In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
That will be good for now. And I'll let Tony go ahead and lead off if he would.
I wanted to, in some of our discussions yesterday afternoon and in the evening, several questions have reemerged concerning other groups of believers and the role of the Spirit of God, of the Lord, amongst them. And one of the things that we have to be mindful of, you know, we are a people that love to compare things, right? Sometimes we might do something wrong, and when we're being corrected, we say, well, what I did was not as bad as what that fellow did. But that's not really how we should look at the Word of God. There's certainly gatherings of believers where there are true believers in these different groups. The Spirit of God doesn't give us that right or privilege to simply be looking to assess what is there or not there. What he does, as Brother Chuck mentioned yesterday, we don't take counterfeit and try to find all of the counterfeit and what's wrong with those monies to have an understanding of what is real. We begin with what is the optimum template, what has been set before us as teaching in the Word of God. So we mentioned Matthew 18:20 yesterday. We went through this in detail. This gives us what a local assembly ought to look like in its form. Where two or three are gathered together, there is a place. The two or three is a sufficient testimony. We mentioned in Deuteronomy 19:15, you'll find that, and also in one of Paul's epistles. So there are two or three saints that are gathered there together. Specifically, a brother needs to be there so he can function publicly. and where there is the gathering, and the gatherer is the Spirit of God that gathers individuals who are of like mind, who are believers, together. It says, unto my name. And we want to dwell here again that a denomination is a group that gathers unto the name of a man who has a philosophy, a teaching, that may not and is usually not consistent with what we find in the Word of God. But we have been called, and believers are called, to gather unto the name of the Lord Jesus only. And he says, when there in that company, there am I in the midst of them. We then have a divine center that we gather around. So that here in Matthew 18 establishes what an assembly is. And then we turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It shows us these four pillars or four anchors. There must be those who continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is the teachings of the apostles, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And see, what I need to do now is to say, this is what the teachings are according to the Word of God. Where I am, are we seeking to uphold and to follow these things? If that is true, then without a doubt, the Lord is in the midst of the company. Because this is his desire to be where the twos or threes are gathered together unto his name. He says, I will be in the midst of them. Now there may be, and I'll tell you, we have family, we have friends, we have brothers and sisters that perhaps walk with us at one time that are now with another group of believers. We love them. Certainly we do. And if they are blood-bought, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they, like us, are going to heaven, and they are part of this universal church that we mentioned earlier. But as to practice, if I have some intimate knowledge as to what may be practiced at that particular gathering, I might be able to say that some of the things that are requirements in these scriptures may not be there. The other thing that Brother Chuck mentioned yesterday that is very critical also, and we'll come to this in the book of Ephesians, that as the Lord, the ascended head, he has given men as gifts. You have the gift of the evangelist, you have the gift of the prophet, you have the gift of the pastor and teacher. And these gifts are for the edification of the church, and they are to function. So if there's a gathering of believers where there is one man or two or three who control everything, well, the Spirit of God does not have liberty to utilize those gifts as he would like to. And that would therefore have to say that there's difficulty in the understanding and the teachings of these scriptures. So just remember, there's a divine center. Two or three are gathered unto his name. And if it's unto the man, a man and his thinking and teachings, well, that is what a denomination is. When we compare ourselves and say our group versus that group, you know, in a sense, we begin to make ourselves like a denomination. Because it's not us versus them. It is what the Word of God says, and then we seek to simply follow those teachings to the best of what the Spirit has revealed to us and our desire to go on in simplicity of Christ. So hopefully this will help us. I'll mention this also because this was a question. Is the Spirit of God there with these believers? Well, my response is that God is sovereign. I'm not going to say, because I've seen men and women saved in other companies, they're on their way to heaven. But as it relates to the teachings as to what an assembly is and how it ought to function, we use this book, and then we have to leave the rest with the Lord. So hopefully that helps to respond to some of the questions that we had yesterday.